Parashat Bamidbar is well known to have as a major theme the counting of the Jewish people, to see how many people would be eligible to fight in the wars from the age of 20 to 60. And that was all the Shvatim, all of the tribes, with the exception of Levi. Levi, the tribe of Levi, was counted separately. And we find in source number 1, Perek Gimel, Pasuk Yudalit, Hashem said to Moshe in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, count the sons of Levi according to their father's household, according to their families, every male from 1 month of age and up shall you count them. Moshe counted them according to the word of Hashem, as he had been commanded. There are quite a number of questions that are raised on this section. First and foremost, what is this idea that they were counted from the age of 30 days? We know Levim only started working from 30 to 50. So 30 days is a little bit young. Rashi tells us, source number 5, Mishiyatza michlal nefilim hi nimnet likrot shomer mishver hakodesh. 30 days shows a sign of viability, that the child will survive. And once they've reached that point, they are then called Shomer Mishmer HaKodesh. They're guarding the guardianship of God, of the holy places. And as the Tavadas, as well as many Mefarshim, continuing in 5, the Tamua Devar, Hayachta Ben Chodesh Nikra Kvar Shomer Mishmer HaKodesh. Tell me, you've seen a month-old baby, they're able to be Shomer Mishmer HaKodesh, they need to be watched. Right? You can't leave them on their own. And now they're guarding holy places. How do we understand this? And I'll just make mention of an approach, which is a very fascinating approach, that the Tiv HaTorah brings in Source 22, where he says that every time another child is born in Shevet Levi, it's because there is a new neshama kedosha, a new holy soul brought into this world. And when a new holy soul comes into this world, there's more kedusha, there's more holiness in this world. And that's what creates the guardianship of Hashem's holy places. The more kedusha in this world, it's more of a esoteric concept, but every time a Jewish baby is born, similar to the idea that we light a candle, many people have a minhag on Shabbos to light an extra candle every time another child is born, because more light is brought into this world. Similarly, every time a person from Levi is born, there's more kedusha in this world, and that's guarding Hashem's kedusha. But the question still stands, how could we count from 30 days? The second question is, well, how exactly did Moshe Rabbeinu count? So again, Rashi tells us, source number 4, that Moshe Rabbeinu went to the Petach HaOhel. He went to every entrance of every home. Vashchina mekadem lefanav, and the Shechina, the divine presence, would come before him. And a bat call, a heavenly voice, would come out and say, these are how many children are in this house. These are how they count in this house. We have to understand, what was the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu had, and the Shechina had to go from house to house? Could he not have just stood where he was? And Hashem said to him, you know what? This is the number. Why was it necessary for Moshe Rabbeinu to actually go to every house when he didn't even actually walk into the house? And Hashem told him the number anyway. What is the point of this process? So those are the two major questions that we're going to deal with today. Now, before one thinks, well, you know, I'm not from the tribe of Levi, this is really not relevant to my life. So we know in source number 6 of Tiva Torah, it points out that Shevet Levi was a Nivchar Mitzak Dushatam. Already in Egypt, they were chosen because of their Kedusha, because they were Oskim B'Torah, they were ones not working in Egypt, they were involved in Torah, they were the link in the Masara, in the tradition from Yaakov Avinu. And therefore Hashem gave Shevet Levi the special job of Shmiras HaMikdash, of watching the Beis HaMikdash of the Mishkan, because they were Shleimim Vekim Hashem. They were wholesome in their attachment to Kadosh Baruch Hu, and they were passionate about the life of Torah and perpetuating that life. And he then quotes that famous Rambam. In English it's in 3a, in Hebrew it's in Source 7, where the Rambam at the end of Hilchos Shmita VeYovel says that lo Shevet Levi bilvad ela kol ish ve'ish mikol baya olam. It's not only Shevet Levi that can be this high exalted position of being the Shomer Mishmeret HaKodesh, obviously not in the Beis HaMikdash, but conceptually devoting oneself totally to Torah. This is the famous Kol Ramba. But rather, anybody who is one who wants to dedicate himself, Asher Nadvar Rucho Oto, that wants to dedicate himself, Libadel Lamo Lifnei Hashem L'Sharto L'Avdo L'Avodet Hashem, any person who wants to take on this as their mission in life, to completely dedicate themselves to Avodas Hashem, V'yeh Hashem Chalkov V'Nachlato L'Olam U'Lamei Olamim, they have that option. You can choose to join the ranks of Shevet Levi, so to speak, the ranks of people who are totally dedicated to Hashem and not involved in this worldly pursuits. So therefore you see that what we're going to talk about today, albeit specifically about Shevet Levi, is equally applicable, as we'll see, to anybody who so chooses to live such a life of complete devotion to Hashem. I'll add one more hakdama. Even those who may not have children, or may not have children of chinuch age, which we'll be speaking about today, this shir still is very applicable to each and every one of our lives. How so? You have to hold on to level 3. But we have a while to get there. So let's start. The first two levels of simple understanding of this section of Chumash, I'd like to divide the two levels based on understanding of the Be'er Moshe, the Usher of a Rebbe, in source number 8, where he says that we know that the Levim were 22,000. That was their count. The 22,000 corresponds to 22 letters of the Aleph Bet, because the Levim were the Shoresh. They were the root of Klal Yisrael, the whole essence where the Klal Yisrael is able to gain all of their vitality from, is from Shevet Levi, from the Torah that Shevet Levi was responsible to promote. That's going to be the first level that we'll understand. The second level is that the number 22,000 is also not by accident. The Medrash tells us, based on a pasuk in Tehillim, that there were 22,000 groups of Malachi Asharet, of angelic figures that came down on Mount Sinai, and each and every one of them had a crown for Naseh the Nishma, and it was given to Shevet Levi, because Hashem knew that Shevet Levi was going to be able to withstand all the temptations, that sin in the Chet HaEgel, the sin of the golden calf, and the crowns belonged to them. The symbolism of those crowns will be Emir Tzashem, the understanding of level 2. Let's begin level 1. Shevet Levi, the Shoresh, the root of Klal Yisrael. Rav Zaitchik in Or Chadash notes the following in source 10. Rashi tells us how were the regular tribes counted. So every person, Heviu Sifrei Yechuseihem, that would bring their book of lineage, and that way each person would be clearly known, yes, I am from this tribe. Here's my Yichus. Here's my lineage. By Shevet Levi, it wasn't necessary to do that. Why? Because Shevet Levi was unique. They were special. They were known to be ones devoted to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. U'minayin haya lo l'shevet ze otah etzilut v'yichus hamiyuchad. From where did Levi get the exalted yichus, this higher level? And the answer is, he says, ki minureihem, from their youth. Mirega gocha mibetem imam, from moment go. They were mechunachim u'mudrachim likrat sfigat rikshei kodesh. They were trained to absorb the holiness that was found in their houses. U'mashrei zeh sha'yichus shel chinuch v'girsa d'yanukta gadol ma'or. The education that a person gets from childhood, from the impressions that a person has as a young child. And we know there's an idea of doing as many mitzvot as we can in front of even newborns, because everything is absorbed into them. It's the language. It's the food of the child. The chaviv l'tnei Kadosh Baruch Hu. That was their yichus. Their yichus was that they grew up from moment go absorbing Yiddishkeit. It was what they breathed. It was what they spoke about. That was the focus in these homes. And this is what Rashi speaks about later on in Dvarim, V'limadetam, the asterisk in 10. Otam b'nechem l'daber bam. That you teach your child to speak in them. What is in them? So Chazal tells us, V'shasha ben yodeh l'daber, from the moment a child is able to speak, Lamdeu Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. You should teach him that pasuk, Torah Tzivalonu Moshe. That this is what his first word should be, the first words of a child shouldn't be Baba, it should be Torah, or, you know, whatever combination. That they should see that Torah is the main focus. This should be the lingua franca of their mouth. And we know, Rav Pinkus speaks about this in Ol Miriam and Chinuch, that from a young age, a child is taught to kiss a mezuzah, to kiss a sefer that falls on the floor, not even falls on the floor. It's that love. It's that education from a very young age that this is what's special, this is what's important. And we know that this type of chinuch is a chinuch that stays with a person lol mayat. And indeed, we have in 12 the pasuk by Ovadia Hanavi who says, "Vavdecha yareit Hashem minu urai." I feared God from my youth, and the hadgashes minu urai. Haynu shekol erech yirat shemayim shabach Ovadia masig et atzmo. That the yirat shemayim that Ovadia is praising himself with is coming from Be'oz v'chedva hishun chala min arav, that he got from a child. And this is the crucial foundation in order to build a person who's going to be an Eved Hashem. You can't start being mechanech somebody, you know, at age 18. You know, gee, let me teach you about Yiddishkeit. It's going to have to be from age zero. This is the strength. And I've said this many times. My humble opinion, and we're going to be using a sefer today, Rav Ashiel Solomon's sefer, with hearts full of love, is very much about this theme. How do you build that emunah, that faith in a child from a very young age? This is the foundation that a child needs to have, not intellectually when they're older, but from a very young age, that this is part and parcel of who they are. So now we go back to our original question. 30 days, he's guarding the Mishmeret HaKodesh, Tzur 13. Ulechora haloza bilti muvan, mama lachmirato shel tinok likare shomer Mishmeret Hashem. This child is able to guard the Mishkan, he's only a month old. Ela shad gashahi, in the asterisk in 13, lemandat shemit gadlim vahochim. But this is the chiddush for today, that we're taught that when a person begins at a very young age to have this relationship with Hashem, shemichanchim udrachim anashim shevaday mipar chachmatav yuchusam mibeten, reshaim v'ruyim yiyu liyot shomrei mishmeret HaKodesh. It's not that now they are guarding, but they are worthy of guarding when they get older. Because of the chinuch that they have, we can almost guarantee that they are going to be loyal to this mission. It's only because of the chinuch that they have now that at age 30 years down the road, they're going to be so successful at this job. And this is where we have to understand. You're right. Right now, they may not be guarding. But the guarding that's going to happen 30 years later is because of what's going on now. Don't focus. To able to appreciate the long-term vision of where you want your child to be, you have to invest right here and now in having that vision and planting accordingly. And this is the challenge that we have. As Limudei Nisan points out in Source 14, that he's counting them, Lamod al habekoach shalahem, habekoach shel tinokot shekayam hu mitzad sheyesh shem michlal nefilim. Moshe Rabbeinu isn't counting the actual activity, but the potential that each and every one of them has. Tam v'das 15, v'neresh alavim kvar v'yaldutam svechim chinuch kadosh v'tahor. The chinuch, the education that these levim got was of purity, that they would be ru'uyim l'avod avadat Hashem, to be worthy to serve in the Beis HaMikdash. That's a very big calling. The chinuch had a start at a young age. This is the key line, says Rav Sternbach. When the parent is being mechanech the child now, when the parent is teaching the child now, they have this vision. I want this child to be one who can serve in the Beis HaMikdash. How am I going to work with him right now? How am I going to treat him right now? What toys is he going to play with? What type of friends is he going to have? How is he going to talk? It's not, let a kid be a kid. Yes, he's a kid, and a kid has to be a kid. Kids have to play. But what are they playing with? And how are they playing? And how are you mechanech them? All of that is with that bird's eye view of who I want him to be. I want him to be somebody who's going to be dedicated to Avodas Hashem. And this is really, as Moshe Feinstein Zatzal notes in Drash Moshe, the goal of every parent. Every parent wants their child to be this way. But in Shevet Levi, when you're growing up in this environment, wherever around you, this is their gestalt, this is their calling, there's a much greater chance that this is going to happen. With other people, you have to see when they grow up. At age 20, are they holding or are they not holding? But indeed, we know that when parents are B'nai Torah and they really want to do Ubecholi Bam B'Nafsham, the bracket of 16, Shoafim Hein Liot Shomrei Torah Mitzvos, that they really want their children to be living a life of this, that's why as soon as a child is born, we give the bracha by a bris, K'shem Shenichnas Abrit Ken Yikanes L'Torah. It's as if you're telling a story. I'm sure this is what's going to happen. Because this is our goal. We want our children to be following in these ways. And again, this is a very fundamental idea in chinuch. Like, what we plant in the children now has a long-term effect on the children. And what type of children we want to raise, and where our focus is, and where our goals are going to be very much dependent on what are the seeds that we're going to plant. And again, the seeds are all-encompassing seeds, the type of school we send them to, the type of literature they read, the type, etc., etc., etc. It's all part of this package where then you see what type of fruit you are going to produce. The Medrash takes us even one step further. The Medrash, it's in English in Surah 17, notes the following. The Medrash offers the following concept. The Levite infant surely did not participate in guarding the sanctuary. To the contrary, they themselves needed protection. Rather, Hashem wished to reward Levites greatly for their loyal service, so that when they became 30 years old and began to serve in the sanctuary, Hashem considered it as if they had indeed served from the age of 1 month, and he rewarded them accordingly. Similarly, the prophet Shmuel is credited with judging Israel all the days of his life, even though he was a judge for 10 years. It goes even further than this. Not only is there a chinuch toward this, is there an education with this goal, but a child who's raised in this manner, all those years that he's working on himself to be a person who's going to be worthy of serving the Beis HaMikdash, he gets credit for all those years as if he was serving already in the Beis HaMikdash. And the Rav Moshe Goldstein in Shaarei Chaim points out that this is pshat in what we say at the end of a sivu. Anu ameleim u'mekablim skar, right? Anu ameleim u'heim ameleim. They work and we work. Anu ameleim u'mekablim skar. We put an effort and get reward. What does that mean? She'ein adem u'kabal skar rak al ma'aseh mitzvah she'asah. A person doesn't only get rewarded for the end result. Ela yesh lo skar ala amal v'yegia she'yaga kedei l'kayama. A person gets reward for all the effort they put in as well. Kach bavarat levim veda mikdash. Ein shcharam rak al masha ovdim veda mikdash. Ela etzim ki umam v'chayotam hei mekablim shchar. Just being alive and focusing on this is what they want their job to be and preparing themselves for this, they get shchar as well. And he says, v'chein kol adam 19 shizochel lakish atzmo lomol tara v'lasok atzmo b'chol yonei olam hazeh. Anyone whose focus is this type of focus of Avodas Hashem, so all the effort you put in order to live such a life, and the effort you put into your learning, right? You may not finish your zillion pages in Gemara, but you've drawn and you're putting effort into it, that itself is rewarded. And that's what we have to appreciate. Judaism is not just into the end goal. Judaism is very much into the process. Anu amelim, vehem amelim. Anu amelim, mekablim schar. A person can learn one pasuk, Chumash and Rashi, for 10 years, and you get rewarded for all 10 years that you're learning Chumash and Rashi. In the secular world, you know, you have to produce. You have to have that PhD thesis. If you learned all those years and didn't write that thesis, it was like a waste. What's the worth? You don't have those letters at the end of your name. But Yiddishkeit, the process itself is so important. And that's a fundamental lesson that we learn by Shevet Levi. Why are they called that they're watching Mishmeret HaKodesh in 830 days to teach us that they get rewarded for all of that time of preparation of a melus to be able to be serving at age 30 years. Not only do they get reward, but as Menachem Sion points out in 21, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't hold back reward from anybody. And Hilchaschar HaKaful Kolo Gamet Harim, the parents also get reward. The parents get reward both in Shevet Levi as well as in everyone else. V'cholela mitaskim b'chinuch tinuch shavei rabbanan v'amnarim abirkei Torah mitzvot. Every time a child is being mechanech to live a life of Torah mitzvot, the parents get rewarded for that, even though they're not perhaps, you know, they don't have to do it. They're not bar mitzvah yet. The parents get rewarded nonetheless. Schar tzad ha-mitzvot shechincheha milifni mikayimim ata, that they're preparing them to do. Now the question, my friends, is, okay, so I understand why Shevet Levi counted from 30 days, because they are focused in on being mechanech them, on educating them from moment go, to be people are going to be total servants to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, people are going to give themselves up totally to Hashem. It's the food of their babies. This is what they're breathing in. This is the whole essence of their lives. What was the secret of the chinuch of Shevet Levi? So Rav Schwab on Chumash points out, he says, evidently the tribe of Levi must have had an educational formula that guaranteed that they would all be worthy to guard the Mishkan. What was the secret of Levim's education that enabled them to be certain that all their sons would turn out to be righteous? So Rav Schwab knows at the end of his life, Moshe blessed the tribe of Levi, saying, the one who said of his father and mother, I have not seen him, and he did not favor his brothers, and his sons he did not know. Rashi explains, when Jewish people sinned at the golden calf, Moshe proclaimed, whoever is for Hashem, come to me, and the entire tribe of Levi heeded his call and assembled. Moshe commanded Levim to kill every Jew who had worshipped the golden calf. They did as commanded, killing every family member who succumbed to the sin of the golden calf, including their maternal grandfathers, half-brothers, and grandchildren, the sons of their daughters married to their non-Levite son-in-laws. Clearly, the Levim's love of Hashem transcended even parental and familial love. A child who grows up in an environment that nurtures love of Hashem above all and sees his father's total dedication to Hashem's service knows that as much as his father loves him, his father loves Hashem more. He realizes his father would give up all of his possessions and everything that he loves, including his own child, for the sake of Hashem. A child who knows this will, without a doubt, direct his life toward being counted among those who safeguard the Holy Watch. To try to understand this a little bit more deeply, my friends, again, Rav Masisao Salomon with the Sefer, with Hearts Full of Love, discusses the question of where do you find the mitzvah of chinuch in the Torah, right? The famous pasuk that's quoted, it's chanoch lanar pi darko, educate a child according to his way, pasuk of Mishlei, Proverbs, gam ki yaskin lo yasur menu, even when he gets older, he won't deviate from this. But where in Chumash do you have this? So he quotes a beautiful idea for the Meshech Chochma 26, and a source can be found in the Parsha of Vayera. When the Melochim left Sdom, Hashem said, you know, I got to tell Avram what I'm about to do. Left for Sdom, I'm going to tell Avram what I'm about to do because I'm about to give him this land. And it says there, I love him for instructing his descendants and his household to safeguard the way of Hashem to perform acts of righteousness and justice. Here the Torah tells us why Hashem loved Avram. It's not because he survived being thrown into the fiery furnace or because he circumcised himself when he was 100 years old. That's all very nice. All of Avram's heroic acts were personal expressions of his devotion to Hashem, but none showed his love more than his dedication to disseminating the love, the knowledge of Ribbono Shel Olam waves to his family and household and the entire world. It's interesting, the Rambam, the Dan in 26, notes that the mitzvah of Avas Hashem, of loving Hashem, is really twofold. One, it's contemplating the wonder of Hashem, and then two is to bring other people closer to Hashem, to guide them to Him, to tell them about His goodness and His greatness. So what does that have to do with love? So the Rambam establishes an important principle here. When a person loves someone, he is so excited about it that he must tell everyone the wonderful qualities and virtues of the one he loves. It's a natural response. You see this all the time by kallos, right? They get engaged. They want to tell everyone about how great their chesed is. Whether you're interested in listening or not is really not what's important. Oh, you're the best, da, 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 right? Overexcited. Why? Because when you love somebody, you want everyone else to love this person as well. Therefore, a person truly loves Ribbono Shel Olam with a complete, all-encompassing love. He'll be bursting with eagerness to tell the world about him and draw everyone else into the love. And he'll be perturbed if their people are still unaware of Ribbono Shel Olam's greatness. All Avram's deeds of loyalty and devotion were certainly manifestations of love, but the ultimate manifestation was to inspire others to serve Hashem. And now, my friends, we can appreciate in the arrow 28, here it says the Mashiach Chochma is where we find the mitzvah of Chinuch in the Torah, because this is what Avram was doing. He was instructing his family and his household to safeguard the way of Hashem, to perform acts of righteousness and justice. This act of chinuch expressed his love for Hashem better than anything else he had done. And the Ribbono Shel Olam praised him for it and rewarded him for it. If we follow this line of thought, here's the chiddush. It appears that the mitzvah of chinuch, of educating one's children, falls under the broader category of the mitzvah of avas Hashem. If we truly love the Hashem, we should express our love by drawing our children closer to Him, by telling them of His wonders, and by inspiring them to love Him as well. We should keep in mind, therefore, that the highest form of chinuch is reaching out to our children as an expression of our love for the Ribbono Shel Olam. So the highest goal of our education is to inspire our children to love Hashem as we ourselves do. The chinuch cannot begin and end with, you must do this, you can't do that. No, it should be a beautiful experience of love, of the parents taking their children by the hand and leading them into the illuminated world of the Torah. So what specific form of chinuch does derive from this pasuk? What type of chinuch will bring others closer to Hashem? The key of the phrase is to safeguard the way of Hashem. It means to emulate the midos, the characteristics kivyachol of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and to walk in His ways. And that's what we have to teach our children. Now, when we're nice to others, it's emulating HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He is the center of our life. He loves us. We love Him. That needs to be the focus of our lives. And you know, my friends, that's the secret of Levi. Levi was ready to forego all personal, you know, interests. And this one's my relative. I can't kill that one. No. The beginning and end of everything is Avas Hashem. This is what Hashem commands. I'm ready to do it. I'm ready to give everything up to it for Hashem. When you're able to live a life that's going to show this and going to demonstrate this, and this is really the core of who you are, and your children see that your life is about trying to raise people who have this consciousness and love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's the formula for raising children who are going to be dedicated to guarding the house of Hashem. Just to give one example from earlier on in the Sefer of where you see this dynamics in chinuch. He says, take it for example, forcing children to daven. And it's a big discussion of when, how, what age, etc. He says, the father should ask himself, why is he so insistent that the boy stand next to him for such a long time and daven? Why is it acceptable to me to have my son play more and become accustomed to davening in small incremental steps according to how much he can tolerate? Why am I reaching for such a high level of chinuch? Is it because I believe that this is the most effective way to guide my son toward davening properly when he becomes an adult? Or am I doing it to show other people that my son excels at davening? The father should understand that the purpose of chinuch is not to create a shop window of his achievement. It's not an opportunity to compete with friends and neighbors. When parents conduct the chinuch of their children in order to show off what they've accomplished, the results can be disastrous. Rav Wolbe speaks about this also in his Sefer al Chinuch. The child will know the parent does not really care about the mitzvah he's being asked to do. Instead of the chinuch teaching the child the importance of the mitzvah, it will teach him that the mitzvah itself is not really important, but that its main value is a means of competition. And children see right through our motivations. We have to be able to see how much a child can take, at what time. Maybe bring them at the end of shul to the last 10 minutes, answer a couple of amens, halenu, something you can handle. You have to know your children and know what they're able to do. My friends, I think to give a beautiful demonstration, or illustration rather, beautiful illustration of the power of what you teach a child at a young age, and the Mesiras Nefesh that you teach a child at a young age. I'd like to share three very, very short vignettes from, all related, from A Touch of Chizuk by Rabbi Spiro, one of his previous books, where he speaks about Rav Mordechai Zev Blau, who was a close talmid of the Munkacher Rebbe, the Minchas Eliezer, was traveling once with the Rebbe by the train, on a train. There was a man sitting next to him who took out a ham sandwich, and he pulled off a piece of bread, and he was about to eat it. Munkacher Rebbe said, "Jew, you're not allowed to eat ham, put it away." The guy says, "I'm not a Jew, just leave me alone." Pulled out the piece of bread, about to put it in his mouth. Rebbe said, "Jew, you're not allowed to eat it." "Come on, I told you. I'm not a Jew, just leave me alone." Third time, pulls out a piece of bread, about to eat it. The Rebbe says, "I told you. I'll tell you again. Can't eat it. And I'll tell you, and I'll tell you again, I'm not a Jew." But the Rebbe won't give up. Finally, the guy took the sandwich and just threw it out the window. And he turned to the Rebbe and he said, "I have for so many years been able to fool people that I am not Jewish. What is it that you saw in me that you realized that I am a Jew? Because indeed I am. But I fooled everyone around me." So Rebbe took his hand and he held it and he said, "I saw how you were going to eat your bread. There's an idea in the Shulchan Aruch, there's a law regarding biting out of a piece of bread and leaving it on the table or giving it to one's friend. The sight of a slice of bread with bite marks is repulsive to those who see it. As such, Jewish people have the custom to pull off pieces of the bread instead of biting into the whole slice or sandwich. When I saw the way you were eating, I realized that your parents taught you how to eat the sandwich in this manner." And the man admitted, he said he had grown up in a religious home, but faced by the challenges in early life, he left it. And you should know that that encounter sparked something in this person, and he became a devoted disciple of the Munkacher Rebbe, a complete Baal Tshuva. It's interesting that this Mishamish who was with the Rebbe, Rav Mordechai Zev Blau, used this a little at a different time. Once he was in a monastery looking for Jewish children, and the priest said, "There is no one here Jewish." And he was watching the children eat lunch, and he saw a little boy pull off his bread. And he said, "This is a Jewish child." "No, no, no." And when the priest left, the boy ran to him and said, "Yes, I am Jewish." Isn't it fascinating, my friends, what you teach a child at a young age, years later, doesn't leave him. When Levi was immersed in this world, you can understand what level they were on. One final story connected to this. Rav Yitzchak Silverstein once told these two stories on Chol HaMoed Pesach. And a man, a very prominent lawyer, got up and he said, "I want to tell you something." He said that morning he met with a very wealthy individual, and we were going to sign on a very big business deal. And then he said, "You know what? I realized it was Chol HaMoed, and I said, I won't sign now. I'll sign after Yom Tov, and if he wants to move on to someone else, I'm ready to give up the business deal." And he said, "I'll tell you what came into my mind, even though this is a major deal." He says, "Because I did this in the memory of my parents who were killed in the Holocaust." He said, "My father was a simple carpenter, very little money in the house. And Chol HaMoed, he said, I need to work. A person with nothing to eat is allowed to work." And he says, "I overheard my mother telling my father, you're right, technically you're allowed to work. But you know what? It would be worthwhile for us to rely on Hashem to show him we love him and we love to perform his mitzvahs. And we should not lose out, and will not lose out. In the end, my father agreed, and he did not work on Chol HaMoed. I was a young boy at the time, but I heard the entire discussion, and the message was not lost on me. My mother's commitment and my father's willingness not to work took tremendous sacrifice. They chose to forego that day's profits and instead to rely on the Almighty. All of that made a tremendous impression on me. This morning, as I was about to sign," continued the lawyer, "I thought of my parents. I thought about their sacrifice, and I realized it would be proper for me not to finalize a deal. Put my trust in Hashem. If the other party decides not to go through the deal, then so be it. I will have no regrets." My friends, we cannot underestimate what we teach children at a young age, what our children hear at a young age, what Mesiras Nefesh that we give over. That incident made such an impression on this fellow that we're ready to give up on whatever profits we make. Our love for Hashem is even greater. We're not going to work on Chol HaMoed. What effect it has years down the road on signing on a deal. Rabosai, we can't underestimate the chinuch of the yunkusa of the early age. If we understand, my friends, that this chinuch is so crucial, it's a chinuch of midos, it's a chinuch of avas Hashem. So if we go back a minute to source 25, Rav Aaron Kotler, Mishnas Rav Aaron, he says clearly. He says, "Hinei anu lumdim mikan shelo zo bilvad shechayvim lakdim derech eretz l'torah, el shin yesh chisaron b'derech eretz kol torato eina chashuva klal." If there's something missing in your derech eretz, your Torah is so limited. Everything is predicated on derech eretz. Everything is predicated on being a mensch, and all of this is taught at a young age. So this we can understand the idea of why Moshe Rabbeinu goes to every tent, but doesn't actually walk into the tent. The Sichus Musar points out that Moshe Rabbeinu, who was so sensitive, not wanting to take the mantle of leadership, lest it's going to hurt the feelings of his older brother Aaron. This is the same Moshe Rabbeinu who understands their heritage is meant not to walk into the tents of every single family. To be more precise, their heritage is not and cannot, 34 asterisks, be in contradiction to Hashem's command. Rather, the principle Derech Eretz explain and clarify the manner in which one is to fulfill the divine command. Thus, Moshe Rabbeinu was commanded to count all the Leviites from the age of 1 month and older. And the Torah continues, the Moshe counted them according to the word of Hashem has been commanded, stressing the Moshe's perfect compliance with his instructions. And yet Moshe did not fulfill his obligation in its literal sense. The norms of Derech Eretz did not permit Moshe to enter private tents. Accordingly, the divine command could not mean that he should enter. Moshe proceeded to fulfill the instructions in a manner and consonant with the requirements of Derech Eretz. And the verse describes him as doing so as Hashem commanded. Rabosai, he's going to the tents and not walking in them, was teaching them a lesson. That as important as the will of God is, you have to be able to do it in a manner of Derech Eretz. He went to the tents and not walking in was the lesson. To show the people that as much and as important it is to do God's will, it can't be at the expense of basic menschlichkeit, of walking into people's house, of intruding in on their privacy. Mitzvos are important, but Derech Eretz is kadma l'Torah. You know, it's like people who want to catch a minion for mincha, so they double park and they block all the cars around them, or they park on the sidewalk and people have to be troubled. Yes, you have to get to mincha, no doubt about it, so leave a little bit earlier, park normally, right? You got to be sensitive to other people. And you see this as well by the continuous of Chaim Shulevitz and Sichus Musar, that the Kohen Gadol had bells on his garments, that people would hear him coming in. And we learn from here that one is obligated to knock before entering one's home, right? That's also Derech Eretz. Before you walk into a room, knock. You don't know who's there. Let people know that you're coming in. One final question on this level, my friends, and then we'll move to level 2 and 3, Mirtz Hashem. And that is, Rav Yomer Yehuda in 37 asks, quoting Harav Zecher Chaim, we know that was the beginning of ER that they counted. So it's beautiful weather outside. Why didn't Moshe Rabbeinu go to every tent and Hashem tell everybody, okay, I want you to round your kids up, stand outside, and then Moshe Rabbeinu could easily count how many people. He didn't have to go into the tent. They could have stood outside. And he says, we learn from here, Shemosh Rabbeinu Hevin, Shelo Nichlasin Lubeito Shel Adam. Moshe Rabbeinu understood you don't walk into someone's house, understood you don't take children out to the street. That children shouldn't be walking around, you know, hanging out. And it's better, Kivyachu, to be Matriach, the Shechina, to protect one's children. And indeed, how much we have to learn about this. And Rav Pinkus echoes this as well in his Sefer. That parents are so careful all year who their kids play with, and then suddenly the summer comes and everything becomes hefker. No, the street is not, it's an unfortunate place where people pick up a lot of negative things, particularly in Eretz Yisrael, where kids spend most of their lives on the streets, right, playing on their bikes and their balls. You have to be careful of who the influences are and what your children are doing. Also in Chutz La'aretz, when the kids hang out in the summer, you know, the long nights, and they're out doing whatever they're doing, hanging wherever they're hanging, there has to be some type of pikichud in watching what is the environment of these children. Okay, my friends, that was a long first level. 30 days, it's chinuch. It's chinuch from day one. And it says counted as if they've been working this whole time because they're preparing themselves derech Eretz Kadmah LaTorah, and therefore Moshe Rabbeinu didn't walk into the tent. Second level is based on an idea. Steve Shalom brings in many places. One of them is Source 39. The idea that most people have to work on, that their moach, their mind should serve Hashem. People should work on their lev, their heart should serve Hashem. People on the level of the Avos HaKadoshim, not only do their mind and heart were focused on service of God, but their evari, their limbs as well, were so holy, they were drawn of their own volition to do the will of Hashem. As we say, called Tzvosai, Tomar Hashem Yikamocha, all my limbs cry out, Hashem, who is like you. And that's why on the left-hand side in 39, you see it's by the Akedah. The Pasuk says, Vayishlach Avram et Yado, and Avram lifted his hand and he took the knife to kill his son. Why did it have to say that he, you know, extended his hand? Because his hand didn't want to do this. His hand knew, you're not supposed to kill Yitzchak. So he had to, like, lift up the hand, Vayishlach et Yado, force the hand, because the hand was going counter to what he knew. So Mishra Shremen, Rav Kaufman quotes Meshem Yishmuel, Sakach Ever Rebbe, who said that when Klal Yisrael said Nasa V'Nishma, when they were standing in Har Sinai, and they were able to say, we will do, we will listen, they reached the level of where Ubamirazu Bitlu Ritzonam Ma'utam L'Gamri V'Ritzon Hashem. They were complete bitul, complete nullification to the will of Hashem, until the Malachi Asharis, the heavenly voice came out and said, Miki Lal Vanai Rav Zesh Malachi Asharis Misham Shiva. Who revealed the secret of total dedication that my angels employ? However, after the sin of the golden calf, Klal Yisrael lost that level. Who were the ones who were not involved in the golden calf? Who were the ones who maintained that level of even their evarim, even their limbs to the will of God? That was Shevet Levi. That goes back to the Azar Rava Rebbe, that the 22,000 angels that came down gave them a crown of Nasa V'Nishma. They were able to maintain that crown. They were able to maintain that level of complete commitment and dedication to Hashem. That the body would follow Hashem. Even without the mind telling it. It became part and parcel of their heart. That's why he counted from such a young age. Because then the guf is ben kayama. And Kielomi Shigir Klauza Harim Shachla Sarat Sona Berab Shlomos. Already at 30 days, right? Most people at age 20, you know, then they're at an age of being able to make decisions, etc. But for a Levi, once he got out of critical stage, he's 30 days old, right? Pidyon Abed. At that time, he's following Ritzon Hashem. He's guarding Mishmer Hashem. He's 30 days, he needs to be guarded. The Levim were on such a level of connection to Hashem that their entire beings, what everything was about, was dedicated to Hashem. It wasn't, hey, you know, let me think, I should do, and now let me do. They played differently, right? You didn't have a sibling rivalry that you had in other places. Their whole being was different. And that explains that Shraga in 42, why Moshe Rabbeinu went to every tent, right? We know the beauty of every tent. Bilma Rosha said that. Matobo Lecha Yaakov, Mishkosecha Yisrael, how great, how godly are your tents. Moshe Rabbeinu went to every tent to underscore this idea that every tent is holy. Why didn't he walk in? He would have been overwhelmed. It would have taken forever to leave. What he would have seen would have just drawn him further and further just to stare at the scene where everyone is doing the will of God. And it would have just have been a drawn-out process. He's going to every tent to make this statement, wow, look how special the tents of Levim are, that I'm going to each and every tent. I can't walk in there. I'll never walk out. It's such a beautiful scene. But I need to at least come to make this statement. Okay, my friends. aged 30 days. We know first level chinuch has to start at a young age. Take with that little bit of that bread. Don't work cholamoy. The avas Hashem, instead of biting into the bread, that avas Hashem, that love of Hashem, kefalt, is the highest of levels. This is really where it's at. And this is where we as parents need to be role models for our children, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren, right? Dorei doros. When they see this in us, when they see the passion in us, they see that we're not doing it for a competition and we're not doing it to put on a show and we're not doing it because everyone else around us is doing it, but we're doing it because this is Emes Lamisa. I'm doing this because this is real for me. I'm doing this because this is not going to look good on a shidduch resume and not. I'm doing this because this is genuine. And that's what kids want to see from us, this genuineness, this realness, and this connection to Hashem. And that's how we have to be mechanech our children. And on the second level, we have to understand that Levi was on this level, which is a level that we should strive for, where our whole being just does the will of Hashem without having all those challenges and thoughts and should I and shouldn't I, to be focused in on the will of Hashem. And their houses were like, wow, these are like, you know, stunning pieces of chinuch. My friends, having said both of these ideas, I think there's a third idea. And this idea is relevant to all of us, whether married, not married, children, no children, it's universal. And I think this is a very important lesson of Piderech Drush. Not a Piderech Pshat, but Piderech Drush that we can learn for our lives, particularly Erev Shavuos. The Divrei Torah on this Rashi of Mishiyatza Michlal Nefilim, when you leave the age of being in this state of, we don't know if it's going to make it or not, he's then counted among those who guard Hashem's holy things. So says the Divrei Torah of Gamaliel 43, we learned something gevaldik here. When a person, Piderech Drash, homiletically, when a person leaves, when a person falls, nifilim, and they make mistakes in life. Instead of being mityayish, oh my, there's no hope. Mishiyatza michlal nefilim. When you leave that state and you realize that everyone falls, shavim kol tzadik v'kam, and that this is what's bad in life. When you're able to get up after falling, after making mistakes, then you are called Shomer Mishmeret HaKodesh. And this is what you have to recognize, that a person may be able to sin and then be able to immediately get up and La'alot Bar Hashem V'lakum Bimkom Kacho, and to be called the Shomer Mishmeret HaKodesh. Rabbi Biderman brings down, I forgot from whom this past week, where the letter Nun, which we know represents falling, there's no Nun in Ashri, Samech Hashem L'chol Noflim, it's in Dehan the Samech. The letter Nun, with a little Yud attached to the top, forms the letter Tzadik, which means symbolically that you may be a Nun, you may be a someone who falls, but if you're able to bring on top of you that Yud, that Pintel Yid, that spark, that Kedusha, and you say, yes, I'm a Nun, I've fallen, I've made mistakes, but I'm going to focus in on the Yud, I'm going to focus on the Kedusha in me, I'm going to get myself up. You've created a letter Tzadik. You're a Tzadik. You're a righteous person. That's what we need to understand. We all have paths open up in front of us where we should never be misyayish, we should never give up hope. With this, my friends, we can appreciate that one of the names for Shavuos is Chag HaBikurim. It's the holiday of the first fruits. And we know the Chumash tells us, Sefer Shalom brings down in 44, that it's a time, v'kraftem mincha chadasha l'Hashem, that you bring from the new grain to as a gift to God. Hainu mincha shaychachos, the new grain is us, that we become renewed on Shavuos. Shiyudi chadesh b'yom hazeh kibriya chadasha, we become like a new person today. And that's why we have all this preparation, Sefiras Omer, to reach a level of Shavuos where I'm a real Baal Tshuva, I'm new. And he says that the time of Matan Torah, Yom Zehu Echad V'Shana, it's once a year, Shabo HaTafkid Sheyudi, that our job of the hour of 44 is Litchadesh Kibriya Chadasha, to be a new person, V'Lafoch HaKol Metziyuto L'Metziyah Chadasha, and to change everything to a new reality. And this explains as well, my friends, that we know that when the Torah was given the asterisks in 44, that kol dibur v'dibur sheshamu Yisrael mipi agvura parcha nishmasa. Every time they heard one of the dibros coming out, their soul left them. Hareshvatzinu inyan zeh b'matan Torah shenivru mechadash ketinok shenola. Klai Yisrael were like newborn babies. They kept on dying and getting reborn, so to speak. Uchmo kol ha'sago sheyu b'matan Torah gam inyan zeh b'torah b'chol shana v'shana. Everything that happened in Matan Torah renews itself, happens again in our lives. And therefore, Chag HaShavuos, Shiyudi Yitchadesh Bo Kibriya Chadasha, V'kilu Nolad HaChadash. Rabbosai, Shavuos is a time to start afresh. Shavuos is a time for us to look at ourselves. Okay, it might not be our parents being Mechanechas, but we are the newborn baby. We left the 30 days of being a Nefel, of someone who was fallen. We are now new. We have to take the messages we learned today of being Mechanech ourselves, of training ourselves, that Avat Hashem, the love of Hashem is primary. We have to train ourselves that our focus has to be in our limits to do Avodas Hashem. Our whole focus has to be, why am I doing this? Am I doing this to impress others? Or am I really doing this to be an Avod Hashem? And make decisions based on what will bring Nachat Ruach to Hashem. And this explains, says in Siva Shalom elsewhere, Rabbi Berdichev comments on the pasuk, Vesa etchem al kanfei nisharim, and I'll carry you on eagle's wings. What is the idea of eagle's wings? So the pasuk in Yeshaya tells us, Shemeshir no sotav hayishenot, the redaka, the pasuk in Yeshaya, that an eagle divests itself of its old wings when it gets old and gets new feathers, and gets new feathers. As the pasuk says, Titchadesh kaneshir nu reichi, tilum kuf gimel, that you will renew yourself like a young person, like the nesher. And that's what we have to do on this holiday, become new. You're asking people, what's your focus on Shavuos? Cheesecakes are great, my friend. But you got to get to the real cheese, right? You know, this is the question of change. Lahavdil, of Alfa Abdalos, that bestseller, who moved my cheese. Making changes. Being able to move beyond the habit of what I'm used to. And this is, again, the idea of Ber Avraham on the Pasuk Yazov Rasha Darko. It's not just enough to change your way. You have to Yazov. See where you're being held back and be able to change. Now I can appreciate Rav Zadel Epstein in 46 Sefer Haros. Why did Moshe Rabbeinu have to go to each tent? Just stand in the middle and say, yes, your tents are beautiful. Yes, Derech Eretz. Teach them that lesson. Why go to every tent? This is to teach of a fundamental lesson about how Hashem interacts with us. We have to take our initiative. You can't say, I can't do this. You have to make the effort. And when you can't do it, then Hashem will help you out. Like the daughter of Pyro, that ark was beyond her. She stretched out her hand. That's our job, my friend. The Aro no say no stuff. It carries the people. You have to put in your effort. And he quotes the other 47, the Rabbeinu Yonah, who said, Ki yazov yazor Hashem l'shavim kasha en yad tiva maseget v'yichadesh b'kibam ruach ta'ara lo sigma lo savato at God. Yes, sometimes it's hard for a person to do tshuva. Sometimes it's like impossible, where you don't see any natural way. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu's borei briya miyuchedet, ruach tara, ad kidei lasing ma'alat avatav. Hashem will come in. You do your part. You do your part, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's going to do your rest. Yes, you can't walk into the tents. It's not appropriate. But I want you to make the effort. I want you to show that you're trying. You do your effort, Moshe Rabbeinu, and then I'll help you out. I'll have a baskol, a heavenly voice, come tent by tent. That's the idea of tshuva. Yes, tshuva's overwhelming. Where do I begin? Start with something small. Say, on Shavuos, I am going to be careful about X. I'm going to be a newborn baby in this respect. Okay, I'm 56 years old in every area of my life, but in this area, I'm a newborn baby. And I'm going to treat myself like a newborn baby. I'm going to watch myself carefully, and I'm going to guard myself, and I'm going to cuddle, and I'm going to give the attention. Yes, and you'll see that you've taken off some feathers and put on some new feathers. like a new person. And you will see tremendous Yata Deshmaya, help from above, when you're able to push yourself in areas you couldn't believe. Find concrete way. In this way, I'm going to be a newborn baby at Shavuos. Think about it now, a week, 2 weeks before Shavuos, in what way we can make these changes. And I'd like to conclude with Rav Freifeld, 48 and 49. The Rambam tells us, Hashem, not only is Hashem the teacher of Jewish people as a whole, He's also our teacher on an individual basis, one person at a time. When you seek wisdom and righteousness, when your mind becomes impassioned to know the truth, Hashem touches your mind, this divine instrument He planted in each and every one of us, and you are transformed. Modern society has so de-sanctified the human being and the human mind. They measure our IQs and fit us neatly into a box with which we cannot escape. They say you can only be this big or this small, and you cannot be bigger than you are. There's nothing you can do about it. Absolutely not, 49, says the Rambam. You can be big. You can be very big. There are no limits or restrictions to what you can be. Habal asayar misayinosof. A person wants to purify himself, he's held. A person has to look at his mind as a crown of its existence. It's not just a repository of all kinds of waste and nonsense. It's not just a means to achieve material goals. It's a divine gift designed to perceive the great truths of the world. And if we use it that way, if we ignite it in ourselves, the passion to find these truths, Hashem will touch our minds and bring us close to Him. And my friends, that, I believe, is the beloved beginnings that we learn from Shevet Levi. They had this such intense nurturing from such a young age. They had that cocoon experience that already at a young age, if it's considered as if they're watching the Mishmeret Hashem, they get reward for it. Their limbs did what Hashem wanted. There's nothing, my friends, stopping us from having beloved beginnings. For us to find an area in our lives where we become like that newborn, where we nurture that aspect of ourselves, a tremendous love to Hashem, where I take on this hanhaga, I'm more makbid on this mitzvah, I'm going to bench the first bracha out loud, I'm going to be, whatever it is, more careful about whatever small thing it is, to be able to do, I'm negavasser by my bed, I'm going to make sure to say good morning to 3 people a day. It doesn't matter what it is. Something that I'm going to nurture that small, that I'm going to be like a tino chinola dummy, like I'm new. And when I see that I can take that small area, I will see a tremendous amount of siyata deshmaya that Hashem is going to help us in incredible ways. And from there, we will see that there are going to be many, many beloved beginnings. And each and every year, as we go through the holidays and we take on different aspects of ourselves, our feathers become newer and newer, and we become younger and younger as our beloved beginnings create a whole new relationship with Hashem.